This is Clayton for Podcast Radio Business, and we're joined by Wendy McMillan, partner at Waterland Private Equity, and we're here to discuss boosting female-founded businesses. Thank you for joining us, Wendy.
Hi, thanks very much.
Wendy, please tell us more about your role at Waterland Private Equity.
So I'm a partner here in London with Waterland. Waterland is a European private equity fund that supports primarily founder-owned family businesses in accelerating growth, often through doing a range of acquisitions to take a company from where it is today and make it much, much bigger over a period of time. And we'll kind of partner hand in hand with the founders and the entrepreneurs in doing that.
As a partner at Waterland Private Equity, you've got an extensive background in entrepreneurship. How did you start on your entrepreneurial journey?
So I've had a very different work experience, professional experience from many who are in private equity. I've only recently actually moved into private equity and haven't been in the financier side of things for much of my career. I've done a number of things, just running businesses mostly, and that's ranged from doing my own startup, you know, right from seed stage, right from scratch, through to leading very, very big businesses and teams of literally thousands of people. So I think what I bring to the companies that we partner with at Waterland is that kind of experience of having been in their shoes and seen what it's like to go through those different phases of growth of a business and all the trials and tribulations that come with that.
There is a certain empathy that comes with having been a business owner, that it's very difficult for people who haven't had that experience. That brings you an advantage, really, to somebody else who's maybe just used to providing finance, but not actually having sitting there wondering if their direct debit is going to go through.
I hope so. There's actually a lot of capital out there to invest in businesses. And a lot of what distinguishes those that are successful from those that aren't comes back to people, to having the right teams in place, to having the advisor set and the experience set that can be drawn on to live through all the challenges that come along the way. So in some respects, although it might feel difficult at the time to access the pure money, what you really need when you're starting a business, growing a business, is someone who can be there side by side with you, know what's important when, you know, and how to get through some of the roadblocks along the way. No person, you know, myself included, I don't know how to solve every single situation. And even though I've been doing 25 years of building businesses, there's plenty that I don't know. But I think the diversity of experience of a team that supports a founder is really, really important, side by side with having access to the capital to really accelerate growth beyond what you can do yourself, sometimes as a family owned business or a founder.
So how do you view the recent initiatives announced by the UK government to promote investment in female-founded businesses?
So I think it's a great initiative, and it will be really good to see how it progresses towards really tangible investment in female businesses to get them off the ground. Yeah, there's a lot of private capital out there from people like ourselves at Waterland to do different phases of growth of a business. So where we would come in would be a more established business looking to aggressively build over a period of time. There's a venture capital world that comes in, you know, at an earlier stage. But I think one of the things we've seen, particularly in the UK, is that the amount of funding going to female-founded businesses is skewed way lower than it really ought to be. And so if the task force can put in place some plans to address that and to get all of the, you know, vibrant ideas and creativity of female founders supported and scaling that into great businesses, I think that would be an amazing outcome.
Could you elaborate on the significance of initiatives like the Invest in Women Task Force? Because obviously that helps to foster growth, scalability of female-founded businesses, particularly when it comes to private investment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of it is about just connecting great entrepreneurs, female, male, whatever, with the right partners for their growth at the right point in time. And sometimes, you know, what task force and things can do is they can stimulate the ways in which that can happen most effectively in order to get the whole private capital world working as effectively as possible for driving growth.
Why are people scared of things like private equity? Because just the mere thought of it sends people scurrying in the opposite direction. Is it something, is that reputation founded, or is it mere speculation? What would you say?
I think if you look at some fairly high profile situations that have been in media over decades, there's been some of the failures of the private capital market have been highlighted and sit in people's minds about what private equity is really about. But the reality is that there is a vast amount of money out there to support the growth of businesses, and that most of that money, particularly in the early stages, comes from private sources. Private equity is one of those, and yes, private equity is looking for a return on investment, but so is a seed founder or someone who's doing things at any point in time. What private equity, what I find we do at Waterland is we genuinely partner with businesses to provide them with the resources that they wouldn't have access to themselves. So I was talking to some entrepreneurs yesterday who have built a great business. It's nicely profitable, doing very well. They would really, really like to go out and buy a number of other businesses in that space to become much bigger, much faster. They don't have access to doing that themselves. And so they're talking to us about how we might partner for that journey and do that side by side to be successful together. And I think that being successful together is a really key element of it. It's not sort of us versus them. It's us side by side, hand in hand with a founder team, helping them to realize their dreams and their ambitions for the business.
So we've got around the problem that private equity is scary. How does somebody go about getting private equity? Do you just go onto Google and type in private equity, or is there a secret handshake? How does it work?
I think maybe that's one of the challenging things, is that there's so many private equity firms out there. And, if you're not familiar with the world of private equity, you don't quite know which one is going to be right for you. And so it's a little bit of, just like any entrepreneur would be good at doing, they'll be asking the network, meeting other people, seeing what other businesses have done. In the end, people do business with people, and learning from the relationships that work and the people that you really want to work with through exploring the network is always worth doing. And then, what I'd always encourage is that an entrepreneur or founder will have conversations and meet with a wide range of different businesses and private equity houses to figure out what's the best fit for them and for what they want to do over the next part of their journey. We have a potential deal at the moment that we're working on where, the founder did a lot of background diligence around who are the players in the UK that have the right amount of capital to support the growth that he wants to go on, and then did his diligence around which ones that he wants to speak to, and then came to us. And that we will hopefully be a great partnership for the future.
So how can Waterland and other private equity companies make themselves more attractive to female-funded and female-founded businesses?
We have a job ourselves to be as diverse as possible. And, I think here at Waterland, we definitely take that seriously and are building out more and more diverse teams. I think just encouraging the different ways of thinking about industries and businesses and supporting those teams to flourish and to be themselves in, you know, how they're building that out. No, you know, there's no one size fits all. So adaptability on our side is really important too. You know, if we had to look at every management team, every opportunity in exactly the same way with our creativity and flexibility and how we might, you know, go on a path for growth and, you know, development of that business, then we probably wouldn't be doing our jobs very well.
With that in mind, if you are a female-founded business and you think to yourself, I'm ready for private equity, what would be a short tick list of things that you'd suggest that somebody would put in place in order to make themselves A, more attractive, and B, to ensure some level of success in approaching private equity houses?
So I think the first, you've got to have a fundamental assumption that the business you've created is a strong and vibrant one in a good market and a high quality business that you've built. So let's say that that's the case. I think then it's being really, really clear about what is the dream and ambition for the business? Where do you want to go? And that's not the same for every business or for every founder in terms of that ambition. And once defining that, then figuring out what type of partner is going to be right. And having a whole lot of conversations to check the chemistry and the engagement and ultimately land on someone who, you know, you as a founder of a business really, really feel like you can work with and be there side by side through the ups, through the downs, on that journey towards, you know, realizing that great dream and ambition for what the business can be.
So how important are personalities and mindset for this type of approach? Because I've read in magazines and online that investors may have been completely besotted by a particular product or a service and the business they're in, however, to being totally put off by the person who's the founder, who they feel that they can't work with. Would I be correct in saying that?
You do business with people, right? And it's, I think it's really, really important to go into the start of a relationship that's going to be 5 years, maybe more, that you're going to work well side by side together, because no one benefits from having conflicting views about how to go about things. And generally speaking, you know, over the course of looking at, you know, lots and lots of acquisitions over time, to me, cultural fit, strength of management teams is one of the really key things that differentiates whether it's going to be a success or not. People-orientated approach and a more empathetic, you know, way of doing things too.
So when I was a dashing young blade, you had a business. It's true. if you had a business, your business would be almost for life. You would start on that business, you would found that business, and you would exit that business, leave it to family or whatever the case may be, or the business would fold. But nowadays, the fashion seems to be for purchasing businesses. And you've alluded that as part of your growth strategy, you purchase a business and then you grow a bit, you purchase another business. Mm. Is that where private equity can really shine?
Oh, it certainly is where private equity plays a very, very important role in terms of funding, you know, the financing around a growth vector like that. But, you know, private equity also plays a role in just supporting a family business through its organic growth journey as well. Yeah, and sometimes, particularly with family businesses, you'll see a generational change too. So I was talking to a second-generation family-owned business a couple of weeks ago where the mother wants to take some money off the table. Yeah, she's, you know, a little bit older now, not actively involved in the business. Yeah, the second generation feels that they want to aspire to another level of growth and ambition for the business and want someone to come in and work with them on that. And within Waterland, we have really, really great examples of how that's worked side by side for, you know, over extended periods. I'll take United Pet Foods as an example. It's a Belgian business. We started out very, very early in the journey of growth of that business, working with the family. That has subsequently, through the time we've been partners, grown into, you know, the biggest manufacturer of pet foods in Europe. And they've been with us side by side along the way as a family in doing that.
What's the future looking like for yourself and Waterland for the next 12 months?
So I'm super excited about, you know, that potential for us to find these great nuggets of, you know, lovely businesses with great ambition that we can partner with and really support side by side. I like nothing more than kind of getting into the weeds of, you know, the conversations about all the opportunities that might exist for great businesses to be built. And I know that my team, you know, feel much the same way. I think it's an exciting time. There are lots and lots of great businesses out here in the UK. There's capital available to support that growth. You just have to kind of get the right partnerships in place to get it all firing and happening.
If our podcast radio business listeners who are female-founded businesses, how would they get in touch with you and how would they move things forward if they wanted to really boost their business and, you know, grow into something much bigger?
So I would love to have conversations if anyone is interested in talking about it. They can reach out to me directly by email. My email address is on the Waterland Private Equity website, as are, you know, that of all of my team. So yeah, we can get in touch and then hopefully explore what the possibilities for a partnership might be.
Wendy McMillan, partner at Waterland Private Equity, thank you for joining us on Podcast Radio Business.
Thank you very much, Clayton.
You're most welcome.